You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 3, Episode 2. Well, hey, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Feathers. I'm so glad to have you here. So the big news this week is that I opened the shop over at amyjbennett.com/shop, and it has four products that are inspired by this podcast, and so excited to get those into your hands. We have a t-shirt, a long sleeve version of the t-shirt, our coffee mug, and a bookmark. And actually, we opened this shop on Sunday and already are down to just two bookmarks left. They are limited edition because they are from feathers that I have gathered over the last 18 months. So you can order them on back order, but I will be sourcing those feathers from elsewhere. But I'm just really excited about that. Again, the proceeds from those are going to be going to help support this podcast, the hosting fees and whatnot, and the app, and some really fun things for you. So really hope you get to check that out. So this week on Feathers, we have Jessica Turner. Jessica is the best-selling author of The Fringe Hours and companion book My Fringe Hours, as well as the founder of the popular lifestyle blog, The Mom Creative. She is a writer for Dayspring's Encourage, an advocate for World Vision, a regular speaker at events nationwide, and an award-winning marketing professional. So Jessica is just an amazing individual and really excited to have her on the podcast this week. She's talking about her journey to writing her book and how that was really an act of obedience for her, and then also talking about the fringe hours from her book and how we can take time for ourselves and do some self-care so that we can love others in the same way. So I'm really excited for that. So let's go ahead and jump into that. Here's my conversation with Jessica. Well, hey, Jessica, and welcome to Feathers today.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Why don't we start out? You can introduce yourself and your family.
Awesome. Well, I'm Jessica Turner. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I have three kiddos, Ezra, who just turned one, Adeline is four, and Elias is seven, and I'm married to Matthew, who is a full-time writer and speaker and photographer, and I also work full-time outside the home at a great hospital called Vanderbilt University Medical Center, doing social media and content strategy for them and for our children's hospital, and then on top of all that, I'm blogging and writing myself on the side. I'm at a site called The Mom Creative, and then I had two books released this past year as well, so I'm busy and tired.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was quite the list. All great stuff. I just actually saw recently on Instagram the party that you had for your one-year-old. I think parties are one of your kind of shining moments, right? You love those.
Well, I don't know if they're my shining moments, but they're definitely some of my favorite moments of the year. And I love throwing them. I love having a home that is perfect for having lots of people over. And so, yes, we have lots of fun throwing parties at our house.
All right. How about one great tip to throw a great children's party?
I think figure out your theme early so that you can shop in advance and get great deals. The party that we just had here at the beginning of the year was for Ezra, and the theme was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And I got a bunch of little star sippy bottles that were on clearance at Target, 90% off in August. And so they were 19 cents a piece, and they were the perfect little favor. They fit perfect with the theme. And had I not planned well in advance, I never would have been able to take advantage of that sale and find those things so cheap. So plan early so you can get great deals. That's my number one tip.
That is so cute. I love doing parties too. I know there's a lot of people who hate throwing parties, but I like them. One of my favorite ones we did was a candy party for my daughter, and we actually did a life-size Candyland game in our backyard. So we spray painted the grass and the little like track, and then used the cards, and they actually, the guests were actually the people that went on the track, and they had candy at the end. So
that is amazing. I had never heard of a candy party until literally this past week. I saw somebody share on a blog that I follow, All Things Target, and they had bought some candy ornaments, and they said that they were going to be using them for a candy party that they were throwing. And I thought, oh, that's such a fun theme. But Candyland, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. Okay, and I think it's so cool that it just works out that your episode is following Mary Carver's episode that she talks about her writing a book, Choose Joy, mm-hmm. with one of your friends, I believe, Sarah, that passed away, that co-wrote the book also with Mary. So I just think it's so neat that you have that connection, and we didn't plan it that way at all.
That's amazing. Sarah was one of my dearest friends. I've got her photo here in my office, and miss her every single day. And I'm just so, so excited about Choose Joy and the message of that book. I think that it's something that everybody needs to read.
Absolutely. I just love the message. I read it, and I can, her words just keep coming back to me as I'm going throughout my day, and just choosing joy throughout my day. And you actually talked about that in one of your books that we're going to talk about today, The Fringe Hours, and just talking about how much gratitude and all of that is so important.
It really
the
is.
Idea of self-care. So let's talk about your book, because actually writing your first book, The Fringe Hours, was actually part of your faith story and part of obedience to God about writing that. So I would love for you to go back and kind of share how it all started and why it really was an act of obedience for you.
Sure. So my husband, like I said, he is a full-time writer. He has published, gosh, probably close to 24 books and has been writing as long as I've known him. And so people have asked me, because I've been blogging so long, this year marks 10 years blogging, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? And my answer was always never. That I had no desire to write a book, that I was married to an author, that one author in the house was enough, and that I was content just blogging on The Mom Creative, and that was something that I was not going to get into. And then over the years, I've had more and more friends become published authors, and it's been really exciting to champion them, but again, just didn't really feel that that was something that I was called to do. And then it was a few years ago, I was at a conference in Salt Lake called ALT, and I was in a session on time, and it struck me like lightning that I needed to write a book called The Fringe Hours, and that this would be a book just really encouraging women about the importance of practicing self-care and making time for their passions and doing the things that they loved. And I was in that session, and I bought the domain fringehours.com right there in the middle of this blog conference. It was just, you know, hit me, and I had to do it. Like, I had no choice. And so then I went back to my friend Nish Weiseth House, who's an author you might know, and she lives in Salt Lake. And so I was telling her the idea. I don't even think I'd told Matthew yet at this point. I was like, does this seem crazy? And she just really affirmed the idea, and that this was something that she said that I was perfect to write, that this was something that I had to do. So I talked about it with Matthew, and I'm like, does this seem feasible? Because, you know, I'm at the time, we had two kids, but I'm still, you know, working full time. I'm blogging. I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, I know what it takes to write a book, and I don't have that capacity. And he said, well, why don't you talk to an agent and see what they think of the idea? And so I talked with some friends. I didn't want to have the same agent as Matthew, just because I thought that was kind of a conflict. And so networked with some friends and talked with an agent who immediately embraced the idea both of The Fringe Hours and with me as a writer, and said, you know, I think that this is something that if you want to pursue it, that I think that you should. So I signed up with an agent, and then very quickly, everything came together much faster than is normal. When you normally speak to authors about their process for writing, it can take months to years, even just to get the proposal right and the sample chapters and then the pitching process and the timing of all of that. And this was incredibly quick. I signed on with Jenny in February of that year, my agent. And then by the spring, she was pitching the book, and I signed a book contract by summer. So in like 6 to 7 months, the whole thing was done. And I think,
wow, you don't mess around.
No, right? Well, and I think that that just demonstrates like this was something that I had to do. And that was something that God was really calling me to do, because I feel like if it was not something I was called to do, so many doors wouldn't have opened as easily as they did. And so then came the hard part of doing the actual work, of doing the research. I conducted a survey with more than 2,000 women about time and how they spend it and what their challenges are and what their goals were and their passions, and interviewed dozens of women as well, and then set out to write the book really in my fringe hours, in early mornings before I went to work, in evenings, a lot of weekends. I really didn't have many fringe hours of my own to do anything besides write. But seeing the book slowly, you know, 1,000 words by 1,000 words come together was such a rewarding process. And then to have it release a year ago and for us to still be talking about it a year later, the book just continues to resonate with women. And I get so many emails and comments from people who have really experienced life change because they're now taking care of themselves. It seems like such a simple message. There are certainly people who I think are better at the message, but for whatever reason, God has given me the words and given me stories to share and given me a platform by which to share it, that this is something that is really, really important. And when we are running on empty, we're not only hurting ourselves, we're hurting everyone and everything around us.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about it. So for people who are not familiar, if you think about what fringe hours are, just give us a little definition. I mean, that's just really just pockets of time, right?
Right. So fringe hours are those pockets of time that often go underused or wasted altogether, that when we are intentional about how we're spending that time, we can really use it to do good and do something that we enjoy, to take care of ourselves, that we don't have to go days and days and days without doing anything for ourselves, without taking care of ourselves, putting ourselves last. And that just does not have to be the case. And one way to get around that is by really leveraging those fringe hours for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get back to that, but I want to just rewind in your story a little bit and ask you, when you were thinking about doing this book, and it seemed like it was, you know, just kind of testing the waters, you know, maybe go talk to an agent and all of that. Was there a specific like tipping point where you decided, yes, this was something that I was doing? Or was it really just a thing where every open door was sort of like, well, yeah, I'll keep going. Yeah, I'll keep going to the point where you actually had a book?
No, I think that getting that affirmation from, you know, first Nish, but then my husband, and then the agent all saying, yes, this is something that is needed. Yes, this is something that you should do. I think once I signed with Jenny and was like, okay, I'm doing this, I really just hit the ground running and, you know, gave it 110%. This was not something that I was going to piddle around with, because, you know, if it was something that wasn't going to come to fruition, then I guess I would have hoped that it would end quickly, right? And so I didn't want to be somebody that sat on my proposal for 9 to 12 months, because I knew that I didn't have the bandwidth for it. And then honestly, and this is not something that I've really talked about before, but Matthew and I were in very early discussion stages about if we should have another child. And so I'm a planner to a fault. And so even thinking about what the logistics of that would be timed with a book release, it just felt like, okay, if this is a, kind of another layer there, right? So there was the obedience of writing the book, but then gosh, if we should expand our family, what is that going to look like when I've already said yes to doing this book? And so trusting that everything was going to kind of fall in line, and it did. And it was 2015 was a beautiful, busy, hard, wonderful year, because both of those things kind of happened at the same time. I had my son New Year's Eve, and then the book released February 17th. So, two births in 6 months, I like to say.
Wow. That's a lot. but I love what you talked about, is just that confirmation from people, because I think that, and I love that you were kind of inspired, really, I think from God probably, right? In the middle of that conference, to name it. I think it's so powerful that you named those the fringe hours. There's just something so powerful about putting a name to something. But that God gave you the name, and then you had the people around you that would confirm that. And I think that's just so typical,
right?
For the way God works, is that, you know, He gives us ideas and then has the people around us confirm it. I mean, I think there's some cases. I mean, I think about Noah. There's probably not a lot of people confirming, you know, that it's going to rain and you need a huge boat. But I think the people that are journeying with us in our faith and that know us, and you know, they do confirm when we're supposed to do certain things.
Right. I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think having that community is so important.
Yes. And I'm sure, and those are the people that probably supported you while you were doing this. You know, they have to be on the same page because they're the ones helping with the kids and, you know, dinners and who knows what else, you know, while you're being obedient and following that, you really need that support.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think especially blessed being married to Matthew, just because he's done it so many times. In some ways that made it maybe less scary or overwhelming than somebody who has a spouse who is in a very different field. Having Matthew kind of be there to journey through the process really, I think, made it so much easier and less overwhelming because I had him by my side.
Yes, that would be awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about Fringe Hours itself. Because I think in some ways your message of the book is partly an act of obedience too. You shared with me a little bit ahead of time the verse that we're to, in the command really, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can't love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love ourselves. So can you talk about how Fringe Hours kind of correlates with that?
You know, and the women that I have spoken with across the country, they often say things to me that they feel guilty making time for themselves, or they feel like the only way for them to have balance in their schedules is if they cut themselves out, if they put themselves last, if they put their needs last. And I don't think that that is biblical. I think that, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we don't do a good job of loving ourselves. We skip doctor's appointments. We don't get enough sleep. We put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. We put unnecessary comparisons on ourselves and how we're living. And all of these things, combined with the fact that we just aren't taking care of ourselves, have us living less than the incredible lives that I feel like we could be having if we were being obedient to that love your neighbor as yourself, and we were taking time every day for ourselves, and we were making those doctor's appointments, and we were saying no to the things that we feel like we have to say yes to when that's unnecessary pressure that isn't true, right? Nobody knows that you are signing up for the school bake sale and you're going to home make, you know, 6 dozen cookies, right? Go buy the cookies and give yourself that time, eliminate the stress and do something that you really love, that really inspires you, that really invigorates you, so that you can be the best wife, you can be the best mom, you can be the best coworker, because you're living out the life that God has called you to live.
Absolutely. I mean, I just so resonate with the cookies at school. Like I've had to give up on that because I work full time as well. You know, I do the blogging thing as well. And I'm just like, you know, bringing cookies is just not what I'm called to do. but it relieves such stress because then I am called to do, you know, this podcast and I am called to, work full time. So you have to do the things that you're called to do and let go of the rest. I think it's so important. You brought up comparison. And I think it's easy to look, you know, really at you that has, you know, your list of things that you do and say, oh gosh, well, you know, there's no way that I could do all of that. But there's something specific that God has each of us to do. And there was a quote that somebody, had told me, and it says, they said, you have time to do everything that God calls you to do. You do have time to do everything that God calls you to do. And on the flip side of that is you don't have time to do what God hasn't called you to do. So if you know, whatever God has called you to do, there is enough time to do that. But, and we can't compare, right?
Right. But you know, I want to challenge that in saying that women will often say to me, well, I'm called to be a mother. That is my greatest calling. And so I need to let myself go. I need to push other things aside because my children are the most important things in my life. And that is what I'm called to do, is mother them. And I think that it's important for us to remember that you might be called to do something, but that good enough is good enough. And I'm not saying, like, you know, just let your kids eat off the floor and, like, whatever, right? But I'm saying that it's okay for you to do both things well.
I totally agree.
And I'm not saying that you're not saying that, but I just want to remind maybe listeners of that who maybe feel that way, because I have heard that so many times. Well, I'm called to be a mother, or honestly, criticism of the book, who say, you know, that I was not a good mom in the year that I was writing the book because I wasn't with my children, or that I am not being a good mom because I am going out for a book club every other month. Well, I am a better mom because I am fostering community. I'm having adult conversation, and my kids aren't going to remember the night that I was away any sort of negative connotation, right? They're with their dad, and they are doing just fine. So, know that callings on your life don't necessarily mean that you can't also take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. We have to take care of ourselves. And I think it just goes back to that verse, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, you have to be a healthy person before you can, you know, be a good mother.
Right.
You have to take care of yourself. The other thing I love that you talk about is taking away distractions. I mean, really, that to me is efforts in discipline, right? Just getting away the things you're, I think when I read the book, it's just, you're so good at what you call prioritizing and getting away distractions and doing the things that are really important to you. Like, I love your notes. Talk about your notes that you write in the fringe hours.
Yeah, I love to keep note cards in my purse, in my briefcase, in my desk drawer, so that when I have a few minutes, I can do something that I love, which is card writing, and that I'm not being distracted by my phone or Facebook. On average, we wait 45 to 60 minutes a day. And so if we are intentional, we can do with that time something that matters to us instead of flittering that away. But we have to be intentional and eliminate those distractions. And for some people, that means deleting those apps that really distract you from the time that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely for me, I'm the one that's pulling out Facebook and Instagram anytime I'm waiting. But I love that you prepared, because you talked about this before, being prepared and doing something that you love. But I think it's really important to bring out, you know, we talked about self-care and doing things that you love. Part of the things that you love is to love other people. So in this time, you're writing notes, and it's not just for yourself. It's to love other people and make them feel seen and known.
Absolutely. And you know, taking care of yourself doesn't mean doing everything alone either. Sometimes that does mean being in community. With working outside the home, it can be challenging for me to get together with friends who are stay-at-home moms or, you know, have work-at-home jobs. And so one way that I've done that is by scheduling lunches with them, and they'll meet me kind of a place close to my office, and we'll have lunch. And so then we get just a finite period of time, you know, just that hour lunch break, but it's enough to fuel our friendship and to get caught up and to have that adult time. And it just really, really is important to make time for community.
Yes, there is something I can always tell. And honestly, you know, you're talking about mothering, like, I feel like I become a poor mother when I haven't had time in community. And I can always, like, okay, I need to get away and go talk to my friend. And there's something magical, like I said, like, in an hour or two, just being able to talk to a friend, and you feel so refreshed and like a much better mother when you get that time.
Absolutely. And I know for me, another thing that's like that is reading. If I have not read in a while, my husband will just look at me and say, when was the last time you read? Like, you're a happier person when you're reading. Like, leave the laundry and go read a book tonight. And I'm thankful that I've got somebody in my life who is sometimes seeing me when I can't see myself, when I am not doing a good job of taking care of myself. Because it is something that is learned, and it is something that even if you are diligent about it, sometimes you know, it can be easy to forget or to push yourself last. I think that's a default of many women, because we're nurturers of other people.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I really took from the book that I have found a lot of success in talking about fringe hours is getting up early. So you get up super early, right?
I try. I have a baby that doesn't sleep well. So this year has looked a little different for me. But with working outside the home and needing to get out the door by 8, I try to get up at 5 so that I have 30 to 60 minutes, 90 if I'm really lucky, where no one else is awake, where I can do some things that I love and take care of myself. My friend Stacy once said at a conference, how you spend your 5 to 9 determines how you spend your 9 to 5. And that's so true for me and so true for so many women that I talk to. That, you know, as you're looking at your day and we're go, go, go all day, the one area where you can find that time that you can give to yourself is right at the beginning of the day, is pouring into yourself first before you're pouring in to all those other people in your life and those other roles that we have. So, yes, early mornings are a big one for me.
Yeah, and I have just found, particularly in the last year, that that's where I find my quiet time with the Lord. It's when my brain works the best. Before the whole day starts, before I'm worried about anything, that's when that time has been really good for me. And it's not like a huge amount of time, you know? It doesn't have to be 5. It can be 5:30. It can be 5:45. It can be 6, whatever. But I do find that the morning hours are just, there's something special about them. I used to be a night owl. I would stay up till 12. And when my kids were in preschool, and they didn't have to be at preschool till 9. And so I would be able to sleep in a lot more than I do now. And so I would be a night owl. I'd stay up till midnight and 1. And I realized that I had the same amount of hours, but the things I was doing at night versus what I was doing in the morning was huge. So the only thing I had energy for, you know, when I stay up late was to watch TV, right? So I would just watch TV for a couple hours. But when I switched that, went to bed early and started doing in the morning, that's when I was able to have the capacity to do, you know, get my day started right. So I know there's some people, you know, that are better the other way, but I have also just found that the morning hours are just so good.
And I think that's true for most people. And research shows that really the most successful people are people who get up early and who use that time well. And so I'm a big person who on research. And so I think if that's what research is showing, that is something that we should at least try for our lives. It might not be 5 for you. My sister says she likes to sleep in her fringe hours. And so it might be a little later than 5. But I think that point of having some time to pour into yourself at the beginning of the day is really healthy. And, you know, if you don't know where you're going to find that time for yourself, if mornings don't feel right and you feel like you don't wait a lot or you just think that this is impossible, I would encourage you to go to the Fringe Hours website, fringehours.com, and there's a time tracker on there, or there's a time tracker in the book My Fringe Hours, and track your time for a week and see where that time goes and how you're spending it. And it really becomes abundantly clear once you do that exercise for a week.
Yes, I have done one of those time trackers before, and it's kind of crazy when you add it all up how much you spend. So you're talking about, so your second book is called My Fringe Hours, and it's kind of a little companion book. In the original book, you have 9 what you call fringe principles that helps you kind of get to these fringe hours and what you should be doing in them. So I love this little book because it's sort of like, I don't know, it reminds me sort of from those teen magazines where you just like, or the one of those journals that you, you know, fill in all the questions and you find out about yourself.
I love this little gift book. It's so funny. I wrote it and I'm planning on going through it myself here at the beginning of the year. Cause it is a great companion. If you read The Fringe Hours, which is a traditional trade book, 50,000 words, you know, all words, right? And you really want to make it practical. I think My Fringe Hours is a great follow-up. But if you're not a reader or you just kind of want the practical how-to, how does this look for my life, I think My Fringe Hours is a perfect resource for you because it is lots of questions, lots of exercises, just to kind of think about what this would look like in your own life. And I feel like once you complete this book, you've got a little manifesto, if you will, of where your struggles are and how you're going to make changes, what your passions are, what you're going to pursue. And it's just, I feel like, really exciting to complete.
Yes. And I love this because there was a part of this that sort of stuck out to me, where you talk about, it's the kind of the discover session, sort of like when you figure out what are you supposed to be doing during your fringe hours? And you ask sort of questions like, when's the last time you enjoy doing something so much that you completely lost track of time? What activities do you look forward to every time they get scheduled on your calendar? And I think this is really important because several years ago, just a couple years ago, somebody online asked, you know, what are the things that make you happy? Like, what do you intentionally pursue to make yourself happy? And I had, you know, my oldest daughter is 13, and I feel like I had gotten to the point where I couldn't answer that question. Like, I couldn't tell you what are the things, you know, five things that made me super happy, the things that I really have fun doing. And that was kind of sad, you know? So I think it's really important to go through these exercises and think about what makes you happy, what are you passionate about. So I think it's really important that, especially for me, I think it's especially moms that kind of get themselves lost in the kind of the rat race.
And I think the act of writing those things down, of saying, this is what matters to me, this is what I love, this is what I wish I knew how to do, this is what I want to do, these are the struggles that I have, writing that down, it's like putting a line in the sand so that you can move forward. So that really, and it's fun, I think, to think about it at the beginning of the year, right? As we're on the very beginning of another beautiful year, what can this year look like for you when it comes to taking care of yourself? What can it look like for you in terms of pursuing your passions, in terms of doing the things that burn deep in your soul, that you were created to do, that those things that excite you. Those are the things that are meant to be enjoyed and lived out in life. My mom was a painter, and I remember I would wake up in the morning and I'd run to the table to see what she had painted since I had gone to bed. And that left such an impact on me. And I think it was, she was one of the earliest people that I knew who took care of herself by pursuing the things that she loved. And I think that's also really an important habit to model for our children.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't been writing as much this past year. And, you know, my daughters have never read my blog, you know, on a regular basis, but they would see me doing it. And my daughter, she keeps asking me, like, Mom, are you going to write again? Mom, are you going to write again? And she's so disappointed that I'm not writing. And I mean, she knows I'm doing the podcast, but she actually, even now that she's older, is actually encouraging me to do these things for myself. So I think we do kind of worry about, you know, how are our passions and our hobbies affecting our kids? But what I have seen is, as my kids have gotten older, they have really appreciated me taking the time to dedicate myself to those things.
Absolutely. I have a craft room that's really just a bonus room over our garage, and I was on maternity leave through April, and the one thing that I wanted to do before I went back from maternity leave was to get the wallpaper stripped in there. It was like awful, I don't know, tennis rackets or something all over it. And so we stripped the wallpaper and we had taken everything out of the craft room. And literally the room has just sat like that all summer, all fall. It just sat kind of in a state of chaos and unpainted and unused and just kind of felt overwhelming. And I was busy with book stuff and going back to work and the baby and everything else, and just didn't enjoy that space. And so in December, I went in there and said, you know what, I know it's not painted, but I'm going to go ahead and like get this room set up and start using this room again. Like, I miss being here. And my kids were in there helping me, and they were so excited to be in the craft room again, to be doing those things that they loved with mommy doing what she loved. And so I really saw how having that time impacted them, and it made me want to do it more often.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so, I mean, I think it is. I think when we come alive, the people around us can come alive too. All right. So if somebody wants to find the books or follow you online, where can they do that at?
Well, for book information and retailers and all that good stuff, you can just head over to fringehours.com and everything is there. And this week, what's something that's really fun is if you're an ebook reader, if you're a Kindle lover, on Amazon, thefringehours.com, which is the original trade back, not thefringehours.com, The Fringe Hours, the book, is on sale this week on Kindle for $2.99. So awesome kind of New Year's 1 week sale just through January 16th, 2016. You can get it for $2.99, which is just amazing. It's never been that cheap before, so I'm excited about that. I would say that for my Fringe Hours, which is that kind of workbook that we were talking about, that manifesto. I don't think that's one that you'd honestly want to get on Kindle. Wouldn't you agree, Amy? Like, you want to go through that. You want to do the writing. It's really beautiful, and I think something fun to kind of have the physical. But The Fringe Hours is just perfect for Kindle. So you can get it on Amazon or lots and lots of retailers, that Target and Christian bookstores and all that good stuff. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest at Jessica N for Nicole, Jessica N Turner. And then on Facebook, facebook.com/themomcreative.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It was really fun to chat.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Jessica. There are a few things I'm taking away from this one. First is how God really does confirm our callings through those we're in community with. I mean, I know I'll talk to my husband or call my mom or text my friends and they'll be like, yes, of course you should do that. Or no, you're just overthinking things. So it's really important that we talk to the people that we're journeying with. Our church is actually going through a sermon series called United right now. And I just think it's so important that we are united as Christians and that we're supporting one another in our callings. Also, this idea of self-care is really important. In my own life, I have found that when I'm ignoring my health, I'm not making time with friends, I'm not making time for my quiet time, all these things that fill me up, when I'm not doing them, I tend to become super withdrawn and super self-focused. But when I'm taking care of myself physically, I have more energy for others, so I spend more time in community, and I'm filled up more, and I'm spending time in the Word. And then I think we just naturally spill over into others. So I think this idea is really important when we talk about faith and obedience. It's really hard to think about stepping out when we're just treading water in life. I think when we're filled up with our filled up in ourselves and filled up with the Word, that we just naturally spill out. So I just really encourage you to pick up her book this week while it's on sale. So guys, also don't forget to check out the shop and head over to featherspodcast.com for the show notes, and we will see you next week on Feathers.